You can tell what it is right away. Or at least, you know it's American. It's a style that evolved in the 1930s and 40s, and a major exponent of that sound was Aaron Copland.
I place him at the top of that.
Composer John Corigliano.
He may not have been the very first, but he was certainly the one that is most recognized. When that sound comes, and it's called Americana, by the way.
This fanfare was composed in 1942, when America was deeply engaged in the Second World War, as part of a commission by the Cincinnati Symphony. It was a very political moment. Then, as now, Americans were looking at everything through a political lens.
Columbia presents another of its programs in which prominent speakers talk about current topics of vital national interest.
Sometime after Copland finished his four-minute piece, he turned on his radio.
Everywhere the common people are on the march. By the millions they are learning to read and write, learning to think together, learning to use tools.
It was a speech by Henry Wallace, then the vice president under FDR, and he was talking about what he called the century of the common man. It is the common man, he said, who must learn self-government and fear the demagogue.
It is easy for demagogues to arise and prostitute the mind of the common man to their own base end. Such a demagogue may get financial help from some person of wealth who is unaware of what the end result will be.
Aaron Copland had just been thinking, what am I going to call this piece?
Well, am I going to call this the Fanfare for Democracy? That was his first thought.
Professor Harvey J. Kay, author of The Fight for the Four Freedoms.
Second thought is, will I call it the Fanfare for the Four Freedoms? Because that's the key words of the day.
And Copland named it after the speech. Fanfare for the Common Man, he called it. And as it turns out, that whole idea was at the center of the political argument in that moment.
The debate at the time was so extensive. In that whole period of, say, 38 to our own entry into the war, it's really a question of not just should the United States enter the war or not, but in many ways the question is posed, what does America stand for? I mean, what's the meaning of America?
What would America be after the war?
The peace must mean a better standard of living for the common man, not merely in the United States and England, but also in India, Russia, China, and Latin America.
That common man speech by Wallace was one idea of America, a kind of global message. A more corporate, imperialist point of view had been suggested a year earlier in an essay by the magazine and media mogul Henry Luce. The American century, Luce called it. Both were well known, and the Wallace speech became a true cultural phenomenon even before it was broadcast on CBS.
What really sort of seems to propel it forward, at least in the ranks of progressives, is that the daily newspaper, PM, which was the progressive newspaper of the day in New York City, published every afternoon, that PM picked it up and ran it, and it really did resonate with progressives.
These questions of America's future had been brewing in earlier times, the late 20s, when the country was in crisis. With the beginning of the Great Depression, it had become a matter of survival and a subject for the creative world, for artists.
There were many, many artists, composers, painters, poets, who wanted to respond.
Elizabeth Bergman's book is called Music for the Common Man.
And who believed that in that crisis lay some promise for changing the entire political and economic system.
They were activists on the left, working for their vision of a better America, and became known as the Popular Front. Copland was part of that movement. He was trying to link his music with his beliefs.
Copland adopted what he called a style of imposed simplicity.
One goal was to write tuneful music to reach more people, the way folk music did, to get the message across.
Copland went down to the Library of Congress to find tunes, to look through songbooks, to listen to recordings of American folk tunes.
His piece Rodeo and the Fanfare were both written in the same year.
If you take Fanfare for the Common Man, he starts on that piece by having a melody that jumps without scales. Jump, jump, the next note.
John Corigliano says the simplicity comes from the distance between the notes.
when he first harmonizes this, he harmonizes it only with notes, five notes apart and four notes apart, so we get a very bare sound instead of the full rich chord.
But Copland also knew how to orchestrate.
Because brass instruments play that and it sounds rich and beautiful.
Which is not to suggest that the fanfare is anything like a folk tune, but the same simplified style applies. Later, Copland made the piece part of his Third Symphony and it took off to become the epitome of musical patriotism. But it's interesting to recall that after an incredible run of hits for Aaron Copland in the 40s, Rodeo, Appalachian Spring, The Lincoln Portrait, several Hollywood film scores, he was brought down, having become mired in the anti-communist crusade of Senator Joseph McCarthy in the early 50s, and received his own special spot on the blacklist. He was the same person, writing the same music with the same ideas behind it, but times and politics had changed.
I think Copland was searching for a language that was simple enough to be recognized, but it wasn't simple-minded. It was the opposite of simple-minded, and I think a lot of his ideology comes into his music-making.
Music, politics, and the future of America, all connected. Another story of a search for simplicity with profoundly complicated results. For Fishko Files, I'm Sarah Fishko.